Well, let's take our Bibles tonight, open to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter number 13. And we'll read verse number 15 and 16 together tonight. Hebrews chapter 13. And let's read verse number 15 and 16. If you don't have a Bible, the words will be up on the screen there. But Hebrews chapter 13, verses 15 and 16. Let's read that together this evening. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. So we've been going through this last chapter as the writer is speaking to these Hebrew believers, specifically giving them some of these, what we were calling spiritual assignments that they were supposed to be doing. As we were looking at this last one here about remembering spiritual authority, we were kind of looking at the last part of this in verses 11 through 14 about false doctrine being based on the wrong sacrifice. And so in verse number 11 it says, "For the bodies of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sins are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come." So again, as this writer is writing to these Hebrew believers, they fully understood exactly what he was saying about this sacrifice here. As we looked a little bit in Leviticus, how the high priest, when they would take the sin offering that would be brought every year, and remember there was a couple things that would be done. One of the things that the high priest would do, he would take the blood of one of the sacrifices, and he would take it into the Holy of Holies, and he would sprinkle it on the mercy seat that was sitting upon the Ark of the Covenant in the Holy of Holies. But then the other thing, the animal, the sin offering, was then taken outside the camp. Let me just read here. It says, "And the bullock for the sin offering and the goat for the sin offering, whose blood was brought in to make atonement in the holy place, and shall one carry forth without the camp, and they shall burn in the fire their skins and their flesh and their dung." So he talks about how the blood would be offered in the Holy of Holies, but then the rest of the animal, the meat and everything else, would be taken outside of the camp. Again, remember when Leviticus is being written, Israel is still following the tabernacle, right? They're like Bedouins. They're just traveling, and so they are they're just camping out. And so he says they are to take it without the camp. Obviously, once they got into the promised land, they were able to build cities and things. And of course, as they would come to the Jerusalem, they would take it without the city walls. And so notice what he says here. "Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate." And so we find Jesus being that offering, that sacrifice that was made for the sin of not just Israel, not just to cover the sin of Israel, but the sacrifice that was made for all mankind to forgive sin, that atonement that was being made. And so, and he was taken with outside the city of Jerusalem, and that's where he was sacrificed. That's where he hung upon the cross. And so that's what he says here to these believers. "Let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach," right? If Jesus Christ was willing to be that sacrifice, the idea of what it meant being outside the camp, because that's where the lepers would go, and that's where those, the disease, they were shunned, they were put outside. And so Jesus, being identified with those people, was willing to take our transgression, he was willing to take our sin upon himself, and do that without the camp. And so he says, we can go to him, we should go to him without the camp, not being ashamed of him. And so he says, as we look here, notice in verse number 16, he says, by him, therefore, right? Not by a religious system, not by, you know, religious rituals, but he says, by him, by Jesus Christ. And so these next two verses really is what he's going to say here is because of what Jesus Christ has done. It's because of him, right? This is what he's saying, by him, because of him, because of what Jesus Christ has done, right? By him, because Jesus Christ became our sacrifice for sin, because he was willing to be that sacrifice that was taken outside of the city walls as the yearly sin offering was taken out for Israel, because he was willing to save us from our sins and give us his righteousness. By him. This is why we find in 1 Timothy chapter 2, when Paul writes to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verses 5 and 6, he says, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. He said, look, when we think about the relationship between man and God, there was no relationship between man and God because of sin. But when Jesus Christ came and offered himself as a sacrifice for sin, now man is able to be reunited with God. And the only way that we can do that is through the mediator who is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only mediator that can reconcile man to God. And he's the only one that, I mean, think about it. Through him, we are able to come before God. Think about what he says in the book of, Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, in verses 14 through 16, he says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And so think about what he's saying. Because Jesus Christ, being the great high priest, and this is what's really interesting when you think about it, Jesus Christ fulfilled it all. He became the high priest. He was also the sacrifice that needed to be made. He was the only one that was right to be able to go into the Holy of Holies. When you think about what the high priest would have to do, and the high priest, before he could even offer the sin offering for the people, had to offer a sin offering for himself. And he had to make sure that he was right, because if he would go into the Holy of Holies and he was not right, God would kill him. And can I tell you something? There's no person on this earth, there's no human being that has the right to go into the Holy of Holies without sin. And that's why Jesus Christ was the high priest, so that he could offer his own blood on the mercy seat. And he was taken without the camp and offered as the sacrifice for sin. And so he says that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he is that high priest that has passed into the heavens. And so watch what he says. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Understand what he's saying? Because of what Jesus has done. Now, again, remember, to the Hebrews, you could not approach God. You couldn't. You had to go to the priest, and the priest would have to take your offering, your sacrifice, and all of that, and they would go in and offer it to God. But now, he says, because of what Jesus has done, he says, let us come boldly unto the throne of grace. He says, we can have a personal relationship with God now because of what Jesus Christ, by him, this is what he's saying, because of what Jesus has done, we can now boldly enter into the presence of God at any moment. We sang the song a little bit ago about what Jesus is. He's that friend that sticks closer than a brother, and he's that friend that we can go to at any time. Why? Because he was willing to be the sacrifice for sin. He was willing to take our sin upon himself. And so he says, by him, because of him. Well, watch what he says in verse number 15. Go back to Hebrews chapter 13. Notice he says, by him, therefore, so because of what he has done, there's something that now we are to do. By him, therefore, let us. So this is what he did, now this is what we are to do. Because of what he did, this is what we are to do. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. So think about this. There is the sacrifice or the offering of praise that he says. Because of what Jesus Christ has done, he says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. Because Jesus Christ has offered himself as the sacrifice for sin and has put away the ceremonies of the animal sacrifices, he said all of those things are done through Jesus Christ. He is the final sacrifice. There's no more need for a sacrifice for sin. But does that mean that we are not to sacrifice? Does that mean we are not to bring an offering to God? No. Just because the ritual sacrifice is done, just because the ritual offerings of the animals are done and put away with, he says, no, there is still something that we are to do. We are to bring an offering before God. Think about what Paul says in Romans chapter 12, in verse 1 and 2. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He said, hey, because of what Jesus Christ has done, he says, we can bring our bodies as a living offering to God. Yes, the animals are done. You don't have to offer the animals, right? You don't have to offer the sheep and the bulls and the goats and all those things. That's all done. Those ritual things are done because they are fulfilled in Jesus Christ. But he says, we can still bring an offering. And by the way, we should bring an offering because of him, because of what he has done. We should be willing to bring this offering. And this is what he says, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. So are we not to offer a sacrifice? Are we not to offer an offering because it is fulfilled in him? Oh, no, just the opposite. It's just the opposite. Because of what he has done for us in being that sin sacrifice, because of what he has done for us in being willing to take our sin and our transgression upon himself, because of him being willing to be without the camp and be that offering that we needed, we should be willing to sacrifice for him. We should be willing to offer whatever he says. In fact, the sacrifice that he's asking for is not animals. In fact, you can go all the way back to the book of Psalms. In Psalms chapter 51, the book of Psalms, in chapter 51, notice what the psalmist says here in Psalms 51. Again, this is after David has sinned, and he's coming before God, and he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, and according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. I acknowledge my sin. My sin is ever before thee. Against thee only and thee only have I sinned. And so this is a psalm of prayer and repentance to before God. But watch what the psalmist says when you come down to verse number 15. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. Wait a minute, hold on a second. Is David not under the Old Testament law? Did David not offer sacrifices to God? Yeah, I mean, even, you remember when the altar comes, I mean, they offer sacrifices and things, right? But yet, what does he say? David says, thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. David says, that's not what you're concerned about, God. I know that's not what you're concerned about. You're not concerned about these ritualistic things. You're not concerned about these animals that are being offered. But what does he say? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. He says, you know what God is truly desiring? God truly desires not the sacrifices of the animals and things, but the sacrifice of a broken heart, a contrite heart. And when we recognize what we were and what God has done for us, can I tell you something? It ought to break our heart. It ought to humble us and see that we are nothing before God. And yet he was willing to give his son a sacrifice for us. And that ought to humble us. So often we become so full of pride and arrogancy, and we think we're better than everybody else. Wait a second. We are nothing without him. Because of him, therefore, he says, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Because of what he has done, it's not about the animals. That's not what God wanted. He put a stop to that when he offered himself on the cross outside the camp as our sin offering. And so he says what the sacrifice is to be. In verse 15, he says, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. The sacrifice of praise to God continually. He says we are to praise him. To offer the sacrifice of God continually, that is, and notice what he says, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. The fruit of our lips, he says. It's interesting, Hosea gives us some insight into what the Hebrew author is meaning when he says the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. In Hosea chapter 14 and verses 1 and 2, he says, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. He says they were to turn to God and they were to confess. They were to call out to him. They were to repent, just as David did. David said, I have sinned against God. This is what I have done. And God, I'm crying out to you in humility and repentance, recognizing that I have sinned against you. That confession with the mouth. What comes out of the lips? What comes out of the mouth? The idea is suggestive when he says the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. What proceeds from the lips, from our mouth, is regarded as fruit. Think about this. The fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. You know this, the interesting thing about fruit? It's natural. You can't manufacture it. You can't force a tree to produce fruit. It does it naturally. And this is what he's saying. Think about this. Because of him, by him, because of what he did, it should naturally come through our life. It should naturally come through our mouth. It should naturally come through our lips, the praises to God. But so often, it doesn't. Believers, those that have put their faith in Jesus Christ, are the ones so many times that we fail to praise him. And by the way, notice what he says here. It doesn't just say praise him on Sundays. It says continually. It means we are to do it without stopping, without ceasing. Oh, we know, you know, in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, pray without ceasing. Yeah, he says we are to praise without ceasing too. We're to praise him. That means no matter where we are, we can offer praises to our God. That can be in so many different ways. It's not just, you know, we sing songs of praise, but can I tell you something? It's not just songs. And again, think about this. The fruit of our lips is what he says. It's revealing the character of its source. When you look at a fruit, when you just as fruit reveals the nature of the tree, when you look at the fruit that the tree produces, you see the nature of the source of the tree. When you see apples on a tree, what does it tell you? This tree, the character, the source of the tree is an apple tree. And the same thing, the fruit of our lips, he says, reveals the character of our heart. The fruit of the lips, giving thanks to his name. You understand, praise does not begin with the lips. Praise does not begin with the song. Praise does not begin with coming to church or lifting up hands. That's not what praise begins. Praise begins in the heart. In our heart. This is why he says in Psalms 51, verses 16 and 17, "For thou desirest not sacrifice, else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart." You understand? He's saying praise begins in the heart. But if a Christian truly is walking with God and a Christian truly is humbling themselves before God, then what is going to come from their lips and from their mouth is going to reveal what is in their heart. You see somebody that's always complaining and murmuring and backbiting and gossiping, all that is showing is what is in your heart. That's what it shows. It's your heart. And this is what he says, the fruit of our lips. Lips that are accustomed to acknowledging God will constantly be singing and lifting up his praise. The more that we praise him with our lips, the more we declare our allegiance to him. The more we give him the adoration and the praise that he deserves. The psalmist says in Psalm 7, verse 17, "I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness." Stop and think about that a second. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. Think about it. When is God ever not righteous? When has God ever done anything wrong? He says that's when we should be praising him. I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness. As long as God is righteous, guess what I should be doing? I should be praising him. And yet, what do? So many times, we don't give him the praise that he deserves. Oh, we'll come to church and we'll sing some songs or whatever. Maybe we open up the Bible or something throughout the week, but we don't give him the praise that he deserves. You understand what he's saying here? And again, as he's writing to these Hebrew believers, I think they really grasped this more than we could. To think about all that they had done and bringing those animals as sacrifices to the temple and seeing the priests year after year after year after year after year after year offering the sin offering. And now finally in Jesus Christ, it's finished. In Jesus Christ, it's fulfilled. And he says, now no longer do you have to go to the priest and no longer does the priest have to go to God for you, but you have direct access to God through Jesus Christ, who is our high priest. And he says, because of all that he has done, you don't have to bring these other offerings and sacrifices, but here's what God wants. A sacrifice of praise. To praise him continually. He says, I will praise the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High. It's interesting when you think about the word praise. I could be a little wrong on my numbers here, but the word praise or praiseth or praises is roughly about 300 times throughout the whole Bible. But yet, of those 300, approximately 300 times, over 170 of them are in the book of Psalms. You think he was trying to emphasize something? that we ought to praise the one who saved us from our sins. We ought to praise the one who is willing to go without the camp and sacrifice his own life so that we could have life. He says, by him, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Can I ask you just to think about something? When people think about you, what do they think about that comes out of your mouth? When people think about you, do they think, well, that's a person that's always joyful? I mean, they're always praising God. Or do they think, I really don't want to be around that person because they're always negative, they're always destructive, they're always tearing everybody down, they're always gossiping? You see, that simply shows the character of the heart. It's simply revealing what is inside. And God says he wants for us as believers, because of what he has done for us, to continually offer the sacrifice of praise from our lips, giving thanks to his name. But there's a second thing he says. There's the sacrifice or the offering of praise, but notice in verse number 16, but to do good and to communicate, forget not, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Notice in both in verse 15 and verse 16, he talks about these sacrifices, these offerings. In verse 15, it is the sacrifice, the offering of praise. In verse 16, it is the sacrifice or the offering in action. It's in action. Notice the sacrifice is not just to be with lips. And I'm afraid many times that's as far as what Christians think they're supposed to do. It's just our lips. So we come to church on Sunday and we sing some songs, or we come to church on Wednesday, we sing some songs, and we say, praise the Lord, we say amen, whatever. And we think that's it. We've offered him praise with our lips. But you know, there are many that can have right things come out of their mouth, and yet their heart is far from God. In fact, Jesus said in Mark 7, verse 6, well hath Isaiah prophesied of you hypocrites, as it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. That's why he says praise begins in the heart. You can say some nice things, and you can say you love God, and you can say certain things with your mouth, but can I tell you something? It all begins with the heart, and that's where God's looking. Because once it is from the heart, it's going to naturally come through our mouth, it's going to naturally come through our lips, and it's also going to produce the second sacrifice, the second offering. Not just with lips, but he says, let your actions show your praise to God as well. It is sacrifice in action. What does he say? Do good. Do good. You say, well, what is good? Well, it's the opposite of evil. You want to know what good is? Look at God. You want to know what good is? Just simply look at God, because God is good. And everything that he does is good. Friend, do you understand, as a Christian, when we got saved, we were saved to do good. Now, we're not saved because we were good. None of us were good. We were all bad. Don't start thinking you were somehow good and you earned it. No, you can't earn it. But think about what, I mean, we quote Ephesians 2:8-9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And that's all great. That's a great verse, because it shows that we are saved by grace through faith, and there's nothing we can do to earn salvation. But what does the next verse say? After we have come to faith in Christ, the next verse, very clearly says, for we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God says he had already ordained something, that anyone who came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, this is what he wants for them, to do good works. You see, before we were saved, we couldn't do good works. We can't, because we're lost. We're without Jesus Christ. But now that we're saved, now that we know Christ is our Savior, he says now we are created in Christ Jesus to do these good works. I like what one old preacher said. If Christianity does not walk in shoe leather, it is no good at all. It's a good quote. If Christianity does not walk in shoe leather, then it's no good at all. If all it is from the lips, then it's really no good. There has to be an action behind it. There has to be an action to it. Aren't you glad that God didn't just say, I love you? For God so loved the world. And it stopped there. Hey, he said it, didn't he? Aren't you glad God put some action into it as well? That he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If God would just said, hey, I love you, I love everybody, wouldn't have done us any good. But when he put action into it and improved his love for us, this is why he says that when we allow him to walk in us, when you think about this quote that this old preacher said, if Christianity does not walk in shoe leather, it is no good at all. Can I tell you, that can only happen when we let Jesus walk in our shoes. Isn't that what Galatians 2:20 says? I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what we have to do? To kind of go along with this idea of what this old preacher said, we got to take our shoes off every day and let Jesus walk in them. But we're afraid to do that. We don't want Jesus walking in our shoes. We want to walk in our shoes. We want to run our life. We want to do what we want to do. Oh, but I love him. See, it's just lips, lip service. There needs to be action. He says, but to do good and to communicate, forget not. What does that mean, to communicate? What does that mean? Just, does that mean talking? No, the word communicate here has the idea of fellowship. The word is a Greek word. It means koinonia. It means to fellowship, to commune with, to share. He says, not only are we supposed to be doing good, but man, there ought to be a fellowship among the believers. There ought to be a communion among the believers. That man, we are going to stick together. We're going to work together. I mean, you think about it. Again, I think these Hebrews that he's writing to understood more than we could ever understand what he's saying here. Because when you have people that are literally running for their lives, people that are afraid that they might be found out next and they could be the next ones going to prison. Can I tell you something? It probably wouldn't be easy to fellowship. It's probably not easy to commune with other believers. Why? Because you're afraid you're going to get found out. You're afraid somebody's going to rat you out. He says, hey, as Christians. And this is why he says back up there in verse number 13, let us go therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his... We should never be ashamed of Jesus. Never be ashamed of Jesus. We should never be ashamed to communicate. That's what he says, to communicate, forget not. To fellowship. Man, there ought to be a love to be able to be around other believers. There ought to be a desire to be part of the family, not just in the family, but part of the family. You know, it's unfortunate. There's a lot of people that are in the family, but they're not part of the family. It's hard to be part of the family when you're never around, right? Man, you want to be part of the family. You want to be involved. We have a and some of you may know the expression or whatever, but we'll be doing something downstairs, and all of a sudden one of the kids will come running down. What's going on? We say, you got FOMO? Yeah? So if you don't know what FOMO, it means fear of missing out. But what am I missing out on? You guys were laughing. What did I miss? What was going on? I want to be in the game. I want to do this. I want to play Legos. Whatever it is, I don't want to miss out. Why? Because you want to be part of the family. That's what he's saying. He says, don't forget to do that. Yeah, we ought to be doing good, and we ought to be trying to do all that we can to live right and to please God. And to do good, but he says, and to communicate, forget not. Man, fellowship is so important, to be able to gather together and encourage one another. To fellowship, to share, to commune. He says it's so important. He says, for with such sacrifices. What are those last words? God is well pleased. With these sacrifices, not the animals, not the rituals, with such sacrifices. What? Sacrifice of praise with our lips. Sacrifice in action, showing, proving our love for God. He says, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You want to please God? Bring the offerings that he's asked us to bring. No, not the offering for sin, not the bull, not the goats, not the doves and the pigeons. No, not any of that. How about you bring your heart? How about you offer God your heart? You say, I'm saved. You can be saved and God still doesn't have your heart. How about your heart? How about praise? Because when God has your heart, it's naturally going to come out. Well, I'm not saying you're lost, but I'm saying if there's not a natural coming out of praise to God and just continually wanting to praise him, there's probably a heart problem. Because think about what this Psalms 9: I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. See, that's where it begins. That's where it begins, in the heart. I will show forth, there's the action, all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise, there's the praise, to thy name, O thou most high. The action and the lips can never please God until the heart is right. When the heart is right, what comes out of our mouth will please God. Why? It's going to be natural. Just like an apple tree naturally produces an apple. It's going to be natural. The works that we do, they're going to be good works. Why? Because he's walking in our shoes. We're letting him live through us. We're doing good. Not what we want, but what he wants. And we're communicating, we're fellowshipping, we're encouraging, we're sharing, we're gathering together, we're being part of the family, we're working together for the cause of Jesus Christ. Why? Why does he say to do all of that? Notice those two words in verse 15. By him. Because of him, this is what we should do. Father, I pray, Lord, you'd help us. Because of what you have done for us, that we would offer sacrifice of praise. As long as you're righteous, may we praise you. Lord, when our heart is right, the sacrifice of praise and the actions will be there. To do good, to allow you to walk and to live through us so that others may see Jesus. Lord, to fellowship, encourage, to uplift. Lord, we need that in this day and age. As brothers and sisters in Christ, we need each other. So many Christians are missing out because they're not part of the family. They're in the family, but not part of it. God, I pray you to help us to examine our hearts tonight. Lord, I'm afraid so many times the lip service is just that. It's just lip service. We say we love you, we'll sing a song, but Lord, our heart is far from you. We're not doing good. We're not trying to uplift the name of Jesus. We're not allowing you to walk through us and to live the life that you want to live through us. We're controlling our own lives. Lord, would you help us in these things? Because of what you have done, may we offer the sacrifice of praise. And our sacrifice would be in action, in living for you. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed for just a moment, the piano's just going to play softly for just a moment. Maybe tonight there's something that God has spoken to your heart about. Maybe you haven't been praising him as long as he is righteous. Because of him, we have salvation. We have a hope in Jesus Christ that the world does not have. Because of him. Give him your heart tonight. Let him have your heart. And when he has it, the fruit of your lips of praise, it'll just come natural. You don't have to manufacture it. You're not going to force it. It'll be natural. We'll do good things as we allow him to live through us. We'll encourage. We'll commune together and share. And work together for the cause of Christ because of him.